I'm Ross Reynolds with Marcy Soman. This is The Record. And Marcy, this is a proud, proud day for Seattle.
Yes, and it is all about football, Ross. Yesterday, the football game between the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers broke a record. The Seattle fans have become the loudest stadium on record. They were hella loud.
Hella loud, as loud as a jet airplane taking off. And this is something we can all be very proud of.
What? I can't
Marcy,
hear you, Ross.
We should be proud of breaking the noise record. We should be very proud of that.
Well, anyway, besides breaking the loudness record, Seattle also beat San Francisco 29-3. And that game was delayed 60 minutes in the first quarter because not only was everybody being really loud with their voices, but thunder and lightning were crackling all over. And according to this handy chart from Temple University, a thunderclap is just, about 16 decibels softer than the crowd at CenturyLink Field was. But the things were continuously loud even after the thunder passed. As we heard, the crowd was loud and the Seahawks won. And Art Teal of Sports Press Northwest, you were there, right?
I was there, yes. There was a little audio disturbance going on.
Can you hear us, Art?
I mean, how did you have earplugs or anything like that?
Well, as a matter of fact, I sit in the press box, and the press box is fairly well sealed. There's no open air, but I did take a walk to the open air box where the television crews are, and it was loud. But actually, I think the most impressive thing was that the volume was such that we could feel it in the press box. It vibrated.
Wow.
And that's I don't know that that's happened, because CenturyLink was built in, what, 01, I think it opened, 02. And it's got all the, modern engineering that is designed to, roll with an earthquake or anything else. But really, I don't know that I felt that kind of vibration before in the box. And there were several San Francisco writers who tweeted out that, they were a little uneasy at the amount of movement that was going on in the press box.
Art Teal, we have heard a lot over the years about the impact of the so-called 12th man on the visiting teams, rending them, legless. And I'm wondering if that was what caused the Seahawks to trample over San Francisco yesterday.
I think the Seahawks would have won in a hyperbaric chamber. So I don't know that we can say it was decisive, but it was disruptive. There's no doubt that, communication fades when you've got such a, a big crowd advantage. The offense, San Francisco offense, cannot communicate very well. And they had their share of false starts, of misalignments, corrections that can be made if the quarterback can communicate to the rest of his teammates. And that wasn't happening. And the other thing, too, more than just communication, there's just a game-long diminishment of will that goes on when you're in a constant, abusive situation, and it really does wear a team down over time to be in that hostile environment.
Well, there was so much hype leading up to this game, and I'm curious what you saw yesterday, whether this is now the rivalry to beat as we head towards into the real meat of the season or not.
Well, rivalries are characterized typically by two good teams playing each other well. And the last two games combined score between Seattle and San Francisco is 71-16. So
so you're saying this is two good teams that were not playing each other well?
I'm saying that San Francisco is not playing up to Seattle's caliber.
I see.
Because 71-16 in two games suggests a disparity. And
yes, it
so,
does.
I think San Francisco is going to get Seattle in San Francisco in December. So the rematch is certainly going to be a different outcome. But I really expected San Francisco to play better than they did last night. And they didn't. I guess 24-17 Seattle. I'm not surprised Seattle won. But a second straight blowout, I didn't see that coming.
Well, maybe they were afraid of being struck by lightning. I have to leave the Seahawks for the rest of our conversation because on Friday night, the Sounders defeated their rivals, Real Salt Lake, and they took over the number one spot in the Western Conference. Now, this is a team that started off sluggish, to say the least, and what happened?
It was really a function of roster tumult. They just didn't have the set lineup. They were acquiring players after the season began. Obafemi Martins, the Nigerian striker, was a key addition, and it took them, I think 6 weeks into the season before he was available. They had national team call-ups such as Eddie Johnson and Clint Dempsey, and of course the Clint Dempsey arrival was a big event in late August. He's probably the best American player right now and the captain of the U.S. men's national team. So they've been gradually adding players, working them in, and it took a while, and even they're still not set. They won that game Friday without Dempsey and without Eddie Johnson, who were still recovering from the national team game.
But it made the fans were happy nonetheless, and I think they'll call us and tell us they were equally loud. Art, thanks for taking time to explain sports for me.
My pleasure, and also keep track of the fact that the Huskies and the Cougars won, along with the Sounders, along with the Seahawks.
And the Storm.
A lot of smiles are on a lot of Seattle sports fans' faces.
Not a usual occurrence here. Art Thiel, founder of Sports Press Northwest, here on The Record on KUOW.